Hello, and welcome to Making Creativity Pay, the podcast where we talk to people in creative industries about how they promote and market their work. I'm Dan Barnett, and on this episode we'll be speaking to Bibi Lucille and Anastasia Bunce about the show Meet Cute, that's playing at the Edinburgh Fringe this August. We talk about how it's been 3 years of development to get to this stage, some dubious methods of marketing the show, and plans for promotion over the month. We started out with a quick introduction and discussing how it felt to be one of over 3,000 acts performing at the Fringe.
Hi, I'm Anastasia Bunce, and I'm the director and producer of Meet Cute.
Hi, I'm Bibi Lucille. I'm the writer and performer of Meet Cute. Yeah, honestly, when I heard that there were like 3,000 other shows at the Fringe, I was like, the what now? insane. But weirdly, I feel like everybody manages to still kind of like get stray people coming in from the street and stuff, which you just wouldn't get in London. Because people, you know, I guess people in London like to know their schedule.
That's true. And everyone's out and about. And I guess, you know, there's talk about less flyering this year, I think, which is going to be interesting because a lot of the way shows rely on getting audiences in, and how I did when I was there with uni with my show in 2018 was just, you know, getting people in 5 minutes before the show, you know, telling them about your show. But if we're not doing flyering this year, we do still have some. We've got recyclable flyers this year because we are a vegan theatre company, so we still want to have the tactic of flyering because I think it's a really excellent tool, but then you do have the sustainability issue with it. So sort of, yeah, minimising it a little bit, but then thinking about how you can still do the same thing on social media as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts it as well this year.
I didn't know there was going to be less flyering.
I think a lot of people, it's a lot more on QR codes. So, you know, you'll maybe have one big poster or something, try and sell it to people and get them to scan the QR code, so then they've got a link to your link tree or to the ticket page or whatever it is, and you know, you kind of just do it that way. One of the acts I spoke to a couple of days ago, they've got these kind of NFC little tags effectively, so you know, you kind of put your phone over it, so rather than the QR code, it's just a near field thing, so you just put your phone on it and bang, it takes you to the relevant page. So you know, I think there's lots of ways around that people are kind of, you know, rather than just throwing leaflets at anyone who looks at you.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember trying a tactic, this was in London, to try and get people to one of our like scratch nights. I was airdropping the poster to people. And when I tell you, it did not fly, like it did not work. And people were obviously just declining, you know, this random person trying to airdrop them something. It could have been anything, you know?
Yes.
I didn't know about that. When was this?
Didn't you? This was the Sunderscape launch night.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was really desperate to sell some tickets. and thought I was being really, like, innovative with my marketing. And I think one person accepted my airdrop. And I was like, yeah!
Brilliant. They probably thought you were a virus.
100%. Yeah, I would think so too. So we created Meet Cute in 2020 over lockdown when we were, you know, bored out of our minds. And I'd never really done any writing before. The writing I had done very much remained in just like a private folder on my laptop where I was like, no one will ever see this ever. And then, we created like kind of the first 10 minutes just for fun. And when we kind of, you know, had that, the lovely laughter from the audience at bits of it, we were like, oh, maybe we should make it longer. So we turned it into like this hour long play and kind of started doing it post lockdown over 2021. And it kind of all blossomed from there. And we were just, we just wanted to keep the ball rolling. And we have such, you know, I mean, I guess with most artists, you're really, you know, you're ambitious, you've got great ideas for it and where you want it to go. And when we got Edinburgh, we were like, oh my God, great. This is going to be like the kind of the big blowout to do it every day for 30 days, get as many audiences in and really try and spread the word about it. And yeah, this feels like the big finale after 3 years of creating the show.
Yeah. And what helped as well get Edinburgh was Vault Festival, because we did it in back in March at Vaults, and it was an incredible opportunity because it's almost like the mini Edinburgh in London is Vault Festival. And I really hope that they manage to get it back up and running again next year. And yeah, like Bibi said, we've been doing it for 3 years. I'll just give a bit of context to the theatre company as well. So the company's called Patch Plays, And all the shows that we do are around sort of these topics of environmentalism, climate change, animal ethics and veganism. And I think a strength of this show in particular is the fact that it's raising awareness to that through comedy and through farce, because it's one of the best ways to start people thinking, especially about sort of wider political themes rather than doing it in dogmatic, preachy ways. So we've really found really good reception, like Bibi was saying, from the comedy of it, from the fact that it's really human and it's looking at this woman lost in her mid-20s, just trying to figure out what she's meant to be doing with her life, and through that, discussing those themes.
Like you said, you've played at Vault and Camden and those kind of things. What do you think will be the biggest difference at Edinburgh versus those?
I think the fact that it's a longer run. So we were building it up. So we did, the 10 minutes. Then we built up to a couple nights at Bread and Roses Theatre. So we had a week long, which is the longest we've done it yet. But now we're going to be there for, the full month, and doing that night after night, I think, will make a huge difference, because obviously that will get in lots of different people from different walks of life coming in. When you've got a shorter run, it's harder to be able to get that sort of outreach in. So yeah, I think that's the biggest difference.
How does theatre kind of differ to comedy? So, in terms of promotion. So a lot of the time with a comedian, they can have a 90-second piece on Twitter, on TikTok, and you don't get everything, but you can kind of get a good sense for their style, their pacing, the kind of topics, whereas with theatre, it's maybe slightly harder. I mean, do you find that PR and reviews are going to be more important than video clip trying to go viral?
It's been a bit of a kind of trial and error with figuring out the marketing, because you're right, marketing a show, a theatre show, is such a specific sort of skill, because with films, you get the clips and the trailer, and you can try and make a sort of trailer with theatre, but filmed theatre is just not the same. It's meant to be performed live and not filmed. So we've been trying to figure out sort of what's been working, what's been ticking, and clips from the first 10 minutes, when it kind of was a bit stand-up-y, seem to have really worked to get, so audiences can get the feel of the show and the vibe of it. And reviews have definitely been one to sort of say, look at all the other people that like it.
trust them.
They do this for a living. So that's been huge. And I think on the poster as well, putting the reviews out and little taglines as well of little notes that they've said about the show. I mean, that's always what's won me over when I've been to a fringe festival. I've just looked at, with the poster and the taglines and the reviews, and I've been like, well, everyone else says it's good, so I guess it must be.
Yeah, and Bibi, you were also saying to me, because I didn't know this, about Reels, the fact that Instagram Reels get much more views than just specific posts as well. So you've been doing more of those in the build-up as well.
Yes, and even just making, if there are any fringe people listening going to Edinburgh, if you make your poster or static image into a video, so you just add a bit of animation to it and then post it as a reel, it gets so many more views, because Instagram wants to be TikTok. We've got to play into it.
Looking at where you're performing, Gilded Balloon, it's a 90-seater. So, I was kind of doing a quick bit of the maths, 25 days, £12.50, a seat, 90 seats. That's, it's kind of, to me, it'd be scary. I imagine it is to you to some extent. That's £28,000 worth of tickets you've got, potentially to sell. That's a big kind of thing. No pressure. I mean, is there a kind of, I know you've kind of talked about in the crowdfunders about, the cost and that kind of thing. Is there like a kind of level where you think, this is what we need to kind of break even? Do you have that in mind, or is it more, it's about getting the play out there rather than, you want to break even or even make some money, but it's about kind of getting it out there.
Yeah, I think the goal is, we've been lucky because we've been fundraising for ages. So with this, we have been doing these fundraising nights for the past 2 years and have had a lot of success with the crowdfunder and everything. So we are really lucky that we're in a position where we have covered our basis. We've covered the grounds for what we need to put it on. And now the main thing is getting it up and getting audiences in so that, we're not performing to two people every night. Although everyone knows that Edinburgh, that is likely to happen. So I think the goal is, we're not at a stage where we're going to be losing any money. We're obviously going to be going and, paying for ourselves doing it and everything. But we've covered the cost of, the technical side and marketing and everything, the basic needs. So I don't think we're going into it you know, looking to make any money from it, because I think that would be mad at this stage, going to Edinburgh hoping for that. But if it happens, great, you know, and if we break even, that would be amazing. But I think the main thing is just to get it out there, get it up, and get really good feedback from it and reception. And there's also goals, as I'm sure a lot of Edinburgh shows have and One Woman shows have, to engage some interest for TV and film adaptation in future as well. So yeah, it's more artistic goals than financial, because I think we'd be probably disappointed if we were going into thinking about that.
One of the advantages, obviously, of having a month is you get that chance to build a bit of word of mouth. You know, a couple of the other acts I've been speaking to, you know, they've only got the ability to kind of run for a week. So it's a lot more. They have to kind of hit the ground running. I mean, do you see almost the first week or two as kind of just trying to build that interest, build that word of mouth, rather than, you know, bums on seats from day one?
Absolutely. I mean, with the awareness, though, that also press are coming on, like, the first show, on the second and third. So that will help as well build momentum over that first week. But absolutely, I think, you know, we're going into it aware that, you know, if we have not a lot of people in the first week, that's because we're just sort of getting word of mouth out there. And once we get reviews in, hopefully good ones, that will also help. So yeah, it is actually reassuring knowing that we have that period of time to be able to build gradually and have that benefit that we haven't had before, where we've had the benefit of having multiple shows over the course of the year with people thinking, oh, I missed it back in October, we're going to go in March, but not, we missed it last week, let's go next week. So that will be really interesting to see how that helps.
And no, I've heard that people like give away loads of free tickets to their previews, and that it's basically a free-for-all the first two nights for the previews. And then it builds, like, momentum. So, God, maybe we should do that. Just, like, yeah, say, yeah, everyone get in here. Like, see this, spread the word. And then, you know, word of mouth begins.
I mean, one of my previous guests was saying, almost with flyer in, you're not flyer in for that show. You're flyer in for a couple of days' time. People will tend to have plans for what they're doing that day. But, you know, if they're there for a few days, you kind of say, well, yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll go tomorrow night or the next day. So yeah, I think, yeah, yes, you want to try and build that momentum up. But so are, you know, 3,000 other people.
Yes, exactly. But also there's such a lovely network within the individual theatres as well. And we went to this event for like women producing work in Edinburgh and met a lot of other people doing like one woman shows there. And, you know, it's really lovely that we're going to try and go and see any shows that aren't at 6:20 like ours, you know, going to their shows. And you do support each other that way and get, you know, other people's cast and crews to come in as well. So I think that's so important to genuinely do that. Otherwise, everyone's just a stranger there, and then you are just relying on strangers walking in, you know.
And in terms of choice of venue, location and capacity, I mean, did you have much flexibility in that, or is there just like this big rush and everyone wants to try and get the prime places and the prime dates and the prime times as soon as possible?
Well, it was a bit of like magic, because we did the Bolts run. And it was a bit of a pipe dream to go to Edinburgh. I think at the time we were like, that would be lovely, but like, how the heck are we going to afford that? And, you know, it just seemed like a bit of an insane, unrealistic venture. And on the off chance, I just emailed the Gilda Balloon and I said, by the way, we're doing a run at Vaults. If you want to come, please do. And then they got back a few weeks later when I kind of, you know, let that pipe dream go. And they said, we've got a slot at 6:20 p.m. Do you want to take it? And I was like, hell yes. Like, a great time, one of the most central venues. It seemed like striking gold. So even though at the time we were like, we really have no idea how we're going to fund this, we just thought we're just going to have to figure it out, you know, because it's such an amazing opportunity. So yeah, it began with an email to invite to a show. So I think, yeah, anybody that wants to go to Edinburgh, I'd say try and do a fringe before and invite whichever venue you idolise or you want to be a part of. And yeah, just invite people to that.
And I know you're doing some promotion in London. You've got a launch of the book of the play as well in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So I mean, do you see that as almost a standalone thing or something that will then push the show itself as well?
Yeah, to push the show, definitely. I think as well because I mean, our main sort of goal with it is we really want to transfer it to TV and film. And we've had that, I mean, that idea for it for a couple of years now. And we felt like having the play text means that people don't have to physically come and see it or, you know, watch a recording of it, which I just don't think that ever translates well. So having the play text and being able to kind of offer that afterwards and say, you know, here's the entire thing if you want a refresher, I think will help with the sort of the industry side of it. And yeah, and also having something physical at the end of it all to kind of, to remember it by in a weird way and to kind of say it was done, it was completed, and here's the proof, rather than letting it sort of disappear into the ether.
Yeah, and it does help as well, I think, when you have a published playtext, to, as well as reviews, it almost like solidifies quality of something in a weird way. So when, you know, saying we've got a published playtext, that was amazing, because it's like, yeah, look, we got published, so that's another proof that it's worth coming to see as well. So yeah, we're of course going to use that to market the show as well.
You're, what, we now just over 2 weeks out from the start. I mean, do you have a kind of a set plan in terms of promotion and marketing, or are you going to just not wing it, that's not, but be a bit more flexible about kind of, you know, how it goes, and you just kind of, you know, see what works and what doesn't?
Bibi and I literally have a call scheduled after this one to be like, what's the plan? We're winging it so far. So we absolutely need to make a plan. At the moment, you know, we've started the ball rolling. Bibi's been doing the reels and doing the posts on Instagram and socials and everything. But and we've got, you know, some advertising booked in with, you know, the street advertising, things like that. We've got an ad in the Fest, which was a, you know, great deal as well. So that's going to be really good. So we've got some things already, you know, happening. But definitely, like you say, it's 2 weeks out. So we do need to get our heads together and be like, right, what's the exact plan going forwards? Because it is pressures on.
Yeah, the social media one, I guess, is all the rage now, because you can target it to location and, you know, geographic audiences and exactly the kind of people, your target audience. So I think, yeah, we're going to really push for like social media ads and yeah, the reels as well. But it's so difficult. I mean, it's amazing the people on TikTok that can come up with something interesting and funny and, you know, 30 seconds long every single day. It's such a skill. So I was like, every day I need to come up with some kind of like short video that's actually good.
I know some of my friend is taking a show, Olivia, she's got a show about Marilyn Monroe called Norma, which is brilliant. I saw a preview here in London, and she's been doing like a vlog every day, you know, just about the process of making the show. And yeah, you're right, having like a daily thing that's out there really does help. So look into that in the next 2 weeks.
Better get vlogging.
Yeah, it's one thing I'm thinking of working with some performers on, possibly, is almost have a kind of, if everyone does like little 30-second little podcasts or little chats on kind of how the day's gone, what they like, what they've seen, what they're interested in, but then put those into, you know, if you had like 10 to 15 of them together, so you'd have one 5-10 minute podcast of people's thoughts. And I think it might be interesting for people who are going to the Fringe to kind of just get little snippets of people rather than some big, yeah, you know, 20 minute podcast on one specific thing. And, you know, I think, yeah, vlogs definitely. I've seen comedians in the past where they've kind of done, yeah, a podcast based on their tour. So every night or every morning, next morning, they kind of talk about how the gig went, what they're up to, all that kind of stuff. I think there's definitely mileage in that.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I'll do that after every show. You'll just see me increasingly go crazier and crazier. 20. I'll be like, hi, guys. Have my second mental breakdown of the Fringe. Going well.
There's some stuff from last year, so kind of saying it's almost like a mountain. You know, you kind of think, yeah, why would I, you know, if I'm London-based, go to Scotland with 3,000 other artists where accommodation costs are ridiculous, you know? But he kind of said it's almost like a mountain. You do it because it's there. It's the pinnacle.
And, you know, yeah, it does feel, that's, yeah, really good, a grand finale where you just, you go for it. And, you know, if your show, it either does really well or it doesn't do well, and you're kind of like, okay, but I did it, you know, I tried.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Bibi and Anastasia for being on the podcast. There's more info about them and Meet Cute in the show notes. If you enjoyed this, check out our other episodes where we speak to a number of performers about their experiences at the Edinburgh Fringe, as well as with creatives in other industries about making creativity pay.